Genesis chapter 3, I looked at several questions that Jesus asked while he was on earth and dealt with the questions from the answer. No matter what the question is, the answer is Jesus. And I dealt with 84 of those. And there's still a few more that Jesus asked I haven't dealt with. But I was reading through Genesis the other day and was reminded that the Father asked some questions also. So I want to continue our thought, and say mingled thought to say the least, about questions from the answer, because the Father asked some questions. And he did not ask the questions to find out the answer. He already knew it. But he asked questions to make us think what the answer was and why he would ask it. Look in verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam. It means to call to. It has the idea of coming here. Come here. He's calling. Has the idea also of addressing by name. He's talking to someone. God wants to talk to you this morning. God has something to say to you and to me. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, here's the question. Here's what he asked. Where art thou? What a question. I want you to ask yourself that question this morning. Where are you? Now, God had come to the garden before, and he had never had to ask that question. Because when God came to the garden, Adam and Eve quickly came. They longed to see him, enjoyed the fellowship, was excited that he was there. But now, somehow, something has happened, and God has to ask, where are you? Where are you? They heard. The Bible says they heard the voice of the Lord. They heard. I want to ask you this morning, will you listen to him if he speaks to you? I hope you hear the voice of the Lord this morning speaking to you. He speaks inwardly. It's that still small voice called the Holy Spirit. They heard, but they not only heard, but they hid. That's why the question had to be asked. In verse 8, it says they heard the voice of the Lord God and they ran and hid. I say they hid, but they were not hidden. God didn't ask, where are you? Because he couldn't find them or didn't know where they were. He knew. He knew before they ever hid where they were going to hide, and that they would. But they hid, and we're prone to do that. And when God speaks to us, the first thing we do is draw back. The first thing we do is try and not listen. We'll go and try and hide. They not only heard and hid, but I want to say they hurt. They heard God. The reason he had to ask the question, the reason they weren't right there beside God and they were at a distance was because they had sinned. And when they sinned and when they did not come quickly to God, when he came and called, it hurt him. They were not just some kind of project he was working on. They were not an experiment. They weren't something he was putting in a test tube to see how it came out. He loved them, and when they sinned, it hurt him. I tell you, we hurt God when we don't listen to him. It grieves his heart. He's not just an ogre in the sky. He's not just the master of the universe. He's not just king. He is a loving father. And when we don't listen to him, it hurts him. He grieves. The question has to do with where art thou? I said already, usually they would have rushed to him, run to him. Glad he's back in the garden. God's here. They would run to his side. But now there's a distance. And he is saying to them, where art thou? I ask you this morning, where are you? How close are you to God? Where are you spiritually this morning? The question has to do with where art thou? The question not only has to do with where, but it has to do with who. In verse 11, he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? When God said to Adam, and really implying Eve too, but even though he addressed Adam directly, where art thou? Adam's response was, when I heard your voice, I hid, for I knew I was naked. And God's next question is, who told you were naked? There's always a who involved when we are at a distance from God, like Adam and Eve. When he asks us, hey, where are you? What has happened to you? The implication is, you are not where you used to be. You are not as close as you used to be. What's happened? Who has influenced you? There's usually a who involved when we go a guilty distance from God. If we are not as close as we used to be, there's probably a who involved. Someone has influenced us somehow. And by the way, you may be the one that influences someone else to stray from the closeness of God. The where involved with this question, the who involved with this question. But I want to ask you this. Notice what it says. The what's involved with this question. Verse 11 says, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? God's question says, what hath you done? Tell me, admit it, be honest, be open. Be honest with yourself first and with me secondly. Oh, if we would be honest this morning, how much good help we could give. When we try and run and hide and pretend that everything's all right when we know it's not. When we try to act like everything's all right and we know that it's not. When we know there's a distance, when we know we're not where we used to be, we're not as close as we used to be, we're not as hungry as we used to be, we're not as fervent as we used to be, when we think, oh, it's okay. In our day, everybody else is about the same, and even though that's true, that does not excuse us. There's a what involved with this question. In these verses, we find our attention. In verse 6, the devil speaks, serpent speaks to Eve. We're talking about how they got to this situation. What in the world has happened? They usually run to God and close to God and glad to be there and sad when he leaves. But now there's a distance. Where are you, Adam? What has happened? What have you done? And they got to that place because of their attention. Eve looks at the tree in verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree, her attention has been drawn off of all God had given them. An entire garden full of luscious fruit and probably vegetables and beauty. And a perfect atmosphere, a perfect environment. And she's allowed the serpent to get her attention out of all of that and focused on the one thing God says, leave alone. When he draws our attention toward that thing or that person or that event, we're heading for trouble. He'll have to ask us, where in the world are you? What in the world has happened to you? It starts with our attention, what we're focused on, what we're focused on, what we're looking at, what we're listening to. It begins with our attention. It also not only deals with our attention, it deals with our attitude. Before they ever did wrong, they were thinking wrong. And our attitude is just as important and sometimes more important than our actions. Our attitude is a state of mind regarding something or someone. How we're thinking. It deals with our heart. It deals with our inside. It has nothing at all to do with what we're doing, even though it will result into what we're doing. But it's our attitude. The Bible says that God looks on the heart. He knows us inside. And our thoughts and our attitude does matter. That's what's wrong with our brother Jonah that I've been dealing with. Even though he went finally and did what he was supposed to do, he was doing the right thing, but he was doing it with the wrong attitude. And God dealt with him about that. Our attitude makes so much difference. Hey, it's so easy to get a depressed, discouraged, disheartened attitude. It's so easy to get sour and bitter and critical. It's so easy, and once we get there, we're one step from anger. We're one step from rebellion. And little do we realize every step we take away from God, we're getting further from His will and further from His blessings to where He'll have to ask us, where in the world are you? What has happened to you? God wants us close. He wants a close fellowship with His people. If you're lost, He wants you close to Him. He wants to save you this morning. It not only deals with their attention and their attitude, but it dealt with their appetite. Verse 6 says, when the woman saw the tree, that it was good for food. I believe it was probably the best tasting fruit in the garden in some ways. Because there is pleasure in sin for a season. But it's for a season. And the devil, listen, the devil, hey, they're not listening to what God said. They're listening to what the devil says. And everything they listen to draws them further from God's will and God's way and God's word and God's blessings. And deals with their appetite and what we want. So easy. Listen to me. So easy to lose our desire to serve God. So easy. And every person who's ever backslidden, it's somewhere in their past they lost their desire to serve God. And they did not handle it rightly. They did not awaken to the fact of the danger of losing my desire and losing my hunger, and I'm no longer thirsty for God. And they did not awaken to that and deal with it. And all it did was get them further and further and further from God. Our appetite, our desire, our hunger, our thirst for God and His will in our lives. I'm talking this morning about where art thou? Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? Where are you, Rick? Where are you, Bill? Where are you, Susie? It not only dealt with their attention and their attitude and their appetite, but it dealt with their actions. In verse 6, it says, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. That, listen, that attention and that attitude and that appetite finally came to an action. It led them, because they didn't deal with it, to doing wrong. And once they did wrong, it was done. There's no backing up. They could have gotten right quicker. They could have. They didn't have to have the misery they experienced. But I'll still just say their actions, they did what was wrong. And so I've gotten to my message. It'll be a short message. Don't get too scared yet. God confronted Adam. Why? Where did this question come from? When God did address Adam, when he did confront Adam, what did Adam do? Well, could have mentioned first, he avoided. Verse 10 says, and he said, I heard, this is Adam talking to God, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. First thing he did, that dummy, when he heard God coming, he heard the voice calling, Adam, Eve. Instead of running to God, he ran away from God. He's wanting to try to avoid the whole issue. Let me just pretend that everything's, hey, let me just pretend everything's all right. Even though I know it's not. Even though I know, hey, even though I know where I'm not where I used to be, let me just pretend that I am. Let me avoid the whole thing. I do not want to admit where I'm really at. The last thing he wants to do is be honest. You see, that's why they made the fig leaves to clothe their nakedness. I've said this before. I don't believe it's some little old flimsy fig leaves placed in certain areas like you see the pictures. I believe it was a full set of clothes they made. Because they're not trying to cover up just their body. They're trying to cover up their sin. And I believe they had a whole full set of clothes of fig leaves. And the fig leaves seemed fine until God came. And you find no indication whatsoever that they're disturbed until God comes. And when they heard God, they knew all of a sudden, these fig leaves aren't going to be good enough. Me trying to cover up, me trying to pretend is not going to be good enough because God knows the truth. So they tried to avoid, they tried to run, they tried to hide. I'll say it again, they hid, but they were not hidden. The worst thing we can do is try to avoid the issue of being confronted by God. He's coming in love. He shows us ourselves because he loves us. He wants that fellowship restored. If you're lost, he wants to save you this morning. God is a God of good, and he wants to do good for us. And the worst thing we can do is avoid the issue when he addresses, where are you at? Where are you at? They tried to avoid. They ran and tried to hide, and it didn't work. God knew it for us. It ain't going to work for us. And I'm glad that it doesn't. He not only avoided, but he accused. Verse 12, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree. He finally realizes he can't avoid it. God's come and God's addressing the issue, and he's saying very directly to Adam, where are you? What has happened? You are not what you used to be. You are not where you used to be. Now, admit it. And when Adam realizes he can't hide it, he can't avoid it any longer, he begins to accuse. You know what he's saying? The woman, well, it's her fault. You know what she did. You know how she misled me. You know the influence of her. So many times we try to accuse somebody for what we're doing or where we're at. And people will influence us. But it still is our fault if we're not where we used to be. You can point your finger, and so can I. And we can point to things and circumstances and events and say, that's what got me, that's what hurt me, that's what took me away from God's will. All we want to, and it may be true as far as being a fact, that it still is not excusable. If I'm not where I used to be, it is my fault, nobody else's. But listen, that ain't all Adam said. He said, it's the woman thou gavest me. You want me to tell you what he said? It ain't only not my fault. It's Eve, but it ain't only Eve's fault. It's your fault. After all, you gave her to me. Now, that sounds awful mean right here on Sunday morning. But how many times have we said in our mind and heart, if not with our lips, Lord, why have you done this to me? Why have you done this? Why did you let this happen? And I want to tell you, there's some things that will rip your heart out that happens in this life. But in spite of all I'm confronted with and all we go through, our God still loves us. And our God wants the best for us. And he wants us not to just stray away, but to get closer, closer, closer than ever before. When our heart's coming unglued, it's time to run to God, not run away from God. He's tried to avoid. He's tried to accuse. Not really my fault. He also not only did he avoid and accuse, but he admitted. Verse 12 said, I did eat. He finally said, I am the one to blame. He admitted it. It's me, oh Lord, it's me. You want to know where I'm at? I'm where I'm at because of me. You want to know why I'm straight? It's my fault. You want to know why I'm not where I used to be? It's my fault. I'm to blame. It's me. It's me. It's me. I admit it. You're right. I want to be honest. You're right. Best thing we could do this morning is just admit where we're really at. If you're not saved, the best thing that could happen is for you to admit it. I am lost and headed to hell. I'm a sinner. If you're saved and not where you used to be, it's the best thing you can do this morning is to wake up and say, you are right. God, you've told me the truth this morning. I am not where I used to be. I am not where I used to be. If you're depressed this morning, admit it. If you're carnal this morning, admit it. If you're mad this morning, admit it. If you're in sin this morning, admit it. If you're not where you used to be, ought to be, admit it. Be honest before God. Be honest before yourself because you can't get any help and neither can I until we're honest and say, God, you're right. He avoided and he accused and he admitted, but he also accepted. I thought about this. He took the clothes that God gave him. And when God addressed their sin, he brought the clothing, the skins, and they accepted it. They put it on. And this morning, the Lord's got some help for us if we'll accept it. If you're lost, he'll save you. If he's speaking to you, I just got a good blessing right then. I may tell you about it sometime. For right now, it's just for me. Amen. If you're lost and you, if God speaks to you and tells you you're a sinner and need to be saved, if you come to him and call on him, if he's calling you and you come to him, he said, I'll save you. You'll just accept it. As the same person, that's where Adam's at when he's hiding. He knew the Lord, but he's going to need those skins. When it came time to get the remedy, he said, yes. Where are you? How close are you to your father? Are you as close as you used to be? If he came to you this morning, would he have to call out and say, where are you at? What's happened? Our Father wants us close. I'm studying Song of Solomon. Don't know if I ever deal with it. But the book is about two people in love that got married. But the book is about me and you and our God, our Savior. He wants us close. How close are you this morning? Are you as close as you used to be? Where are you? Let's stand together. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Many of you will come. Our Father's trying to help us this morning. And I'm glad that He is. But He can't if we don't let Him. He won't force feed. He won't make us. But if we'll come by faith and accept it, we can get some help. Some of you, you know the devil's been talking to you and trying to draw you away from the center of God's will. He may have been at least somewhat successful. Don't keep listening to his lies right now. Run to God and say, Lord, I want to get closer than ever did before. You sure are right. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Lord speaks to you. Today's the day. Will you come? There's an altar right here. It's a place you can kneel and meet the Lord. Father, please speak to hearts. Help us to hear you. Thank you so much for loving us where you want to be close to us and reminding us when we go a guilty distance. Thank you, Lord. May all of us hear you and do the right thing this morning, the thing we'll be glad we did when we stand before you one day. I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Will you come? Will you mind the Lord? Oh, boy, I'll tell you one thing. Close walk with the Lord is so sweet. Sure, there's difficulties and there's heartaches. And it takes some grace from the Lord, but it's available. But I want to tell you one thing, the closer you are to the Lord, the better it'll be. If you're here this morning, the Lord has spoken in your heart, will you come? Nothing in this world more sweet than a close walk with the Lord. Nothing more difficult, nothing more depressing, nothing more dangerous or destructive than a guilty distance. Where are you, Adam? You're not where you used to be. You didn't run to me this time. What's happened, Adam?